This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right. All right. Let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, so much for the Baker Mayfield magic that the Rams were hoping to get for a second week in a row. But nevertheless, they're out of the playoff picture anyway. But they lose 24-12 last night in Green Bay. A methodical game for the Packers. Cold weather game. A.J. Dillon ran for a couple touchdowns. It was just a simplistic game. Didn't really have a lot of excitement to it. I said yesterday it wasn't really a game that's going to affect anybody in the playoffs. But the Packers aren't officially eliminated. I'm not one of those people that when you have a bunch of things that have to happen, get all, you know, excited and whatnot. Green Bay is not going to the postseason, but nevertheless, they're not officially eliminated, and this sort of keeps them alive. They've now won back-to-back games sandwiched in with a bye week in the middle. But other than that, that wasn't a Monday night football game to remember for at least for me. I mean, if you're a fan of the Packers, great. If you're a fan of the Rams, maybe you wanted to see a couple of more wins before the season comes to a close. But other than that, it was just a Monday night football game that they thought was going to be really good that ended up not being important in the larger scheme. Now, again, don't get me wrong. When you add another playoff game or a team, I should say, it does open up a lot of possibilities. And the NFC is not overpowering, so you can see some teams come and go in the next three games. And the Packers might be a team that if they just win out, let's see what happens. You don't know. So I don't want to put it past them, but I just think in all likelihood they've got a big hill to climb. They know they got a big hill to climb. But with three games left, there again, that game last night doesn't officially eliminate. A lot of focus on the Jalen Hurts as he has injured his shoulder, his throwing shoulder, by running the ball a lot against the Chicago Bears, and now it looks like it's Gardner Minshew time in Philadelphia if Hurts cannot go this weekend in Dallas. This is the luxury that you have of going 13-1. When you go 13-1, you can take some time healing up your quarterback and getting ready for your postseason run. They don't need to play him against the Cowboys. I know the Cowboys are sort of lurking around, but it's a very comfortable lead for Philadelphia in the division this late. But it does raise some questions, which is, did the Philadelphia Eagles do Jalen Hurts no service by the play calling that they were running? A lot of the runs by Jalen Hurts were designed. A lot of them were on his own. But the Bears' coverage did not allow, it didn't really make the Eagles need to stay with what they were doing with Jalen Hurts. We'll talk a little bit about that. Give you more of a complete playoff picture now that we've got the games in the books as we continue. It's Wake Up Call. Good morning.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that is Ron with two N's. Just a programming note, I'm off all next week. So we thought we'd do some year-in-review stories for the next couple of days, just to give, you know, kind of remember 2022. Did you feel like it was a long year or a short year? Did you feel like it went by like a... Remember how 2020 was like forever?
2020 was forever.
Yeah, and then 2021
so this was definitely
faster
than 2020. Yeah.
2020 was way slow.
Yeah,
way
March slow. Was about, you know, a year. That April was about 5 years.
When I was going over the top stories, you know, I was just kind of looking around for the stories of 2022. There was only one story that made me feel like, oh, I totally forgot that happened, and wow, that feels like a while ago. And that was the Winter Olympics. I totally forgot the Winter Olympics were going on in 2022. I don't remember anything from the Beijing games other than some weird photos of where things were. That was about it. I don't remember anything else.
They were in Beijing?
Yeah. Like I said, that's when I went, the only thing I remember, that was in February? Wow.
I remember Nathan Chen.
Nathan Chen.
Had that perfect skate or whatever.
Yeah. That's about it. Like, it's wild because February had the Super Bowl, and I don't feel like that was you know, that long ago. I don't feel like it was yesterday, but I don't feel like it was eons ago. But the Winter Games, I'm like, the Winter Games? My goodness, I must have just completely and utterly ignored this. And normally I watch, like, luge, and I like bobsled and skiing.
But I don't remember much else. I don't remember very much about the winter games of 2022. All right, so the news of Jalen Hurts suffering an injury to his throwing shoulder. It could be sprained. Took 13 hits against the Bears in their victory on Sunday. Here's the luxury, as I said earlier. So very, very likely that Gardner Minshew is going to play. The Eagles only need one win in the remaining three games to clinch the number one overall seed. So they're not in any rush to stick Jalen Hurts in situations where he could get really hurt and their playoff chances without him could be greatly affected. So it's very likely that Gardner Minshew is going to get the start for the Eagles when they play Dallas this weekend. Because we kind of do this with everything, there's been some scrutiny on the Eagles because they knew he had suffered a hit to the shoulder. Obviously, in the game, they didn't know to the extent of the injury. He still threw some passes with that injured shoulder. But the Bears were able to get at him throughout the game. The Eagles won the game, but the Bears were able to put some licks on Jalen Hurts. And now there's some criticism about whether or not the Eagles should have changed up some game plans or should have at least directed Jalen Hurts in a way to minimize contact. Right? Miles Sanders was running the ball pretty good. There's no need to run the quarterback on design plays in certain situations, even though that is part of your offense, if your star quarterback and your MVP candidate is suffering an injury that could affect your playoff run. And so that's where the scrutiny is starting to come in, that maybe they should have called different plays based on how the Bears were defending, because a lot of where the offense of the Eagles is not necessarily designed to have a quarterback run, although some of the plays are, they are designed with a read, right? If you see a certain coverage, you can run the ball, and Hurts is sort of trained to do that. He knows that if he sees a certain coverage, he can run the football, and that's what he was doing. Maybe the Eagles could have helped him out and affect those situations by saying, look, In this situation, we're going to do this and this because based on the fact that we don't want you to suffer this many hits. So expect Gardner Minshew this week. If they beat Dallas with Gardner Minshew, I would probably shut him down and maybe give him some reps in the final one. But you're going to get a bye. You've got a long time. It's not a season-ending injury. They don't think it's even serious enough to be a long, even a short/long injury, meaning like 3 to 4 weeks to heal. It's supposed to be pretty good if you just give it some rest. So that being said, I think that's where the Eagles are going to go for the remaining games that they have in the regular season. But I was looking at the playoff picture. So, again, Green Bay wins last night. It does keep their playoffs hopes alive. It's been kind of a wild year when you think about the two teams in the NFC that sort of stood out last season. Three teams that stood out last season in that conference. There was the Rams who went on to win the Super Bowl. There were the Packers who were the number one seed in the AFC. And then there was the Tampa Bay Buccaneers who were the defending Super Bowl champions, and they were the team, while they didn't have a 15-2 season, we're still a team that we're having a playoff game and we're one of the favorites to at least go back to the Super Bowl. And you look at them this year, and Tom Brady and the Buccaneers are struggling, and Aaron Rodgers and the Packers never really got it together this year, and the Rams are now eliminated from the playoffs. The Cowboys, who went to the postseason last year, still kicking around. The 49ers, who went to the NFC title game, they're still kicking around. But now you're looking at the Eagles now on top. They just were eliminated in the wild card last season. The Vikings now leading their division. The Niners leading their division. Buccaneers still lead their division, but they have a one-game lead over the three other teams, and everybody's got a losing record, as the Bucs are 6-8, and three other teams that are still in this picture are 5-9, Carolina, New Orleans, and the Atlanta Falcons. But here's where the Packers are from last night. The Packers are 6-8, so they are behind Seattle and Detroit, who are both 7-7. Now, all three of those teams are not in as of today. So in as of today are your division leaders, the Eagles, the Vikings, the Niners, and the Buccaneers. The Cowboys right now have secured a playoff berth. They are 10-4. So now you're vying for two playoff spots remaining if you're not going to win your division. So if you're Atlanta, if you're Carolina, if you're New Orleans, the only way you're going to get into the playoffs is if you win this division. But it does make an interesting situation. If you're the Buccaneers, you don't necessarily have to win your division if the Packers are still kicking around and are alive and well. The Tampa Bay Buccaneers are still alive and well. Now, the Packers have beaten the Buccaneers, so they've got an even more hill to climb if they don't win the NFC South. So while you can look at the Packers sort of and say, well, last night's game was really important because it does keep them in this running, there is three football games left to play. They're only one game behind the teams that are on the outside looking in. Here's where the wild card teams are right now. Right now, the teams that are in the wild card, Dallas, the Giants, and Washington. That means all four teams, as of today, from the NFC East would be making the playoffs. The Giants are in better situation than Washington, given that they're 8-5-1. Now, we hate ties. I hate ties. But for Washington and the Giants, that tie may be very, very important because one of those teams was going to lose that game if they had played all the way until somebody were to win a win. But because they tied, it gives them that half-game lead right now over the Seahawks and the Lions. That's for Washington. A half a game right now, they lead Seattle and Detroit, I should say, for that spot. So the Packers last night, again, keeping themselves in the running at 6-8, it's a long way to go, and there's a couple of teams you got to vault. But we're not doing this in week 17. We're doing this after week 15, and we still have three more weeks left. So the Lions are red hot right now. They were 1-6. They've now won six of their last seven. The Seahawks are on the other end of it. The Seahawks, unfortunately, are going backwards, right? They're going in the other direction. And so at 7-7, remember at one point they were 6-3. They were one of the better teams in the NFL. And so they've lost four of their last five. And ever since they went to Germany to play Tampa Bay, they've just been catching a losing situation. So, you know, again, when we come back from the holiday break after next week, we'll still have some football games to play and football games to dissect. So Monday Night Football, while it was billed as, you know, a matchup of two teams from last season that are very disappointing, nevertheless, it still was, however sliver of hope you want to add, at least gives Green Bay in a situation where they can see what's ahead of them and what the circumstances are ahead of them. A Lions team that is surging, but a Seahawks team that is currently struggling. And Seattle right now, they've got to go play the Kansas City Chiefs next week. So if they lose and the Packers win their next game, all of a sudden the Packers are in this conversation even more than they are today. All right. On Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. I want to get to the Buccaneers when we come back because the Buccaneers are struggling. That means Tom Brady is struggling. And this is kind of what people thought would happen to the end of somebody's career. But is it all on Tom Brady? We'll talk about that next as we continue with Wake Up Call.
This is Wake Up Call on the SportsNap Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's. Glad to be with us on a Tuesday. If it is Tuesday during the NFL season, you know eventually we will have top five, bottom five on the show. After, again, Monday Night Football last night, Packers beating the Rams. I don't know what to... It's nothing I can say about that game. It was, again... Another game nationally televised for me where I had it on, but doing something else. This time I was doing two things. I was doing some stuff for the show and stuff for some script writing that I needed to do. And I also wrapped presents. I'm a terrible, terrible gift wrapper. I don't know how it's done. I don't know if anybody listening that is good at this? Like, is there anybody that can wrap a gift perfectly?
Like, I'm pretty good at a box.
Yeah, you give me a box, I can pretty much figure it out.
But if it's like in weird shape or, you know, when you're wrapping clothes.
I always use too much wrapping paper.
I have holes in mine.
Yeah, I like wrap it and I go, oh, I need to trim it. So I just fold it and then cut it. And then it looks terrible because the cut's not even. And I'm like cutting it while I'm folding a bunch of them together.
Try to follow that line. That's on the wrapping paper. It never works.
Never works. So, and my wife's got all these like little things, like a little special cutter that you can slide up. But I'm like, just give me a bunch of them. I'll wrap the thing up, put some tape on it, stick it under the tree.
Well, fortunately, I mean, I'm going to assume the same for you that you don't really wrap a whole lot of gifts.
No.
You know, basically, I only wrap the gifts to my wife.
Well, yeah, exactly. I wrap the gifts to my wife, but every other year, I get help because my mother-in-law comes to town for Christmas, and she always helps me. So I'll always go, hey, Ma, you want to wrap some gifts? Yes, she does. And we go, I go grab them and we go to the bedroom and she wraps them. She helps me wrap them. So it's really an every other year issue for me that my gifts look stupid. I take wrapping paper off and I fill the gaps. I'm like, oh, shoot. So anyway.
Oh, if you're short?
Oh, yeah, man, I'm short. I'm
like, have you ever used the scraps?
Yeah, sure I have.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, of course. I'm like, why not? And plus, I want her to know it's from me, right? I want her to be able to recognize immediately that, oh, that's his gift to me because yeah. Look at it. It looks terrible.
Oh, this guy used about a foot of tape. Great.
So that's how much respect I had for the Packers-Rams game last night is I had it on, but I was wrapping presents. When I should have been glued to my TV because it could have been one of those NFC clashes.
Yeah, but it wasn't.
That would have been exciting, but it's not.
It wasn't. I've gone back and forth. And I made, this time it was the first in a while, I made a conscious decision not even to put on the Manning cast.
Oh, see, again, I missed the Manning cast. Was the Manning cast even on again?
It was. It was. I when I looked at my guide and I'm scrolling down to the Espen.
Good for you.
You know, Espen and Espen 2 are right next to each other. And I saw it right there. I said, Manning cast. And I said,
do it that way. Why not?
What do I want to do?
If you're going to have a game like that last night, throw it on the Manning cast.
I should have. I went to Buck Aikman.
Sounds good. Yeah. Buck Aikman. They must have been thrilled to get that matchup last night. A freezing cold Lambeau Field in a game that really doesn't matter.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Troy, post game, Scott Van Pelt, I'd asked him about that. And Troy waxed poetically about broadcasting from Lambeau Field.
Oh, please stop.
Because. You know, that's the only football field that can rival, like, Fenway and Wrigley.
It is that. I will give you that. It is a fantastic venue. It is. You know what I was thinking, though, last night? I can't remember, but when was the last time we had a late December game, nationally televised game in late December at Lambeau Field that didn't have a big game feel to it, that didn't have a level of importance to it? It's been a while.
It has been a while.
It's been a while. I'm not, you know, it's to get, when you get Lambeau Field on your TV, when it's winter, like really cold, it's because that game is important. That game has tremendous value. The Packers are vying for a number one seed or a number two seed or they're playing, you know, whatever, or it's a playoff game, right? Whenever you see people that can see their breath, frozen faces, everybody bundled up, cold weather, night game at Lambeau Field, it usually is, there's a level of importance to it. And it's been that way for 20 years. And last night was the first time I can remember that it really didn't matter. Like yeah, it does keep the Packers' playoff hopes alive, of course, but it didn't really matter. It didn't have that sense of importance. And Troy's right. I mean, Lambeau is a wonderful place. And in fact, as we get more and more advanced with stadiums and we get more and more of these stadiums that are being built with semi-domes and domes that can be retracted and all of those things, it is nice to see a place like Lambeau, like that's similar on the level of Wrigley and Fenway, that's still a place that has a lot of history. You know, it's...
Well, I mean, he threw some shade on Soldier Field.
Sure, right? Did he?
Yeah, he did. He said, you know, Soldier Field used to be that way, but the renovations missed the mark.
Yeah, that's true. That's what I heard.
He said the renovations just didn't do it justice, and so it's lost that lore of being a, you know, one of the original NFL stadium type
exactly.
fields. And outside of that, I couldn't think of another one. Everyone's playing in a new stadium.
I've never been to Lambeau Field. I know some people who covered the Broncos that went when they played there once every 8 years. And they said all the things that you would expect about Lambeau Field, about how great it was. If somebody were to say to me, hey, let's go to Lambeau Field. I would want it to be in bitter, cold, freezing weather.
Yeah.
I would want that experience. I would say, look, I'm not as young as I used to be in terms of cold weather, but I want to be in five layers and watching a game in freezing cold. There's something about that makes me think like that is part of the great experience of Lambeau is being part of the cold. Do we even remember great moments at Lambeau Field that were done in September when it was like 75 degrees outside?
Because it's too early to have great moments.
No, it's too early to have great moments. Exactly. When we remember the greatness at Lambeau Field, whether it's plus or minus for the Packers, right? Whether it is, again, Jerry Kramer with the block or whatnot in the Ice Bowl, or Eli Manning and the Giants going there when it was frozen Tom Coughlin, we remember moments at Lambeau Field when they were cold, because that's when you get the more memorable moments, right? That's when you get what what this game can bring you. Those important games, San Francisco winning in the snow, or, you know, again, frozen games of Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers' career there.
Tom Coughlin's face freezing
again,
off.
Again, freezing off, right? Exactly. So
I don't know if I want that cold, but, you know, like last
that
night.
That would be dangerous. Yeah. That's dangerous cold. But
last night, though, it was like, you know, you looked at it, it's like, it's cold. And my youngest was like, Dad, I can see his breath. And I'm like, yeah, you know, it's probably chilly there.
Wow.
You know, but, I mean, that looks like, yeah, to me, I think that would be fun.
I think that would be fine. The coldest I've ever been in my entire life, if I remember, and I've been cold. I grew up in New Hampshire, so I know cold. But even growing up in New Hampshire, the coldest I ever was at Giants Stadium in 1989 for a Giants-Raiders game. And it was me, my brother, my cousin, my dad, my uncle, my other uncle. He brought his kids, but they were sitting in another section. So we all had tickets. It was like the Christmas Eve of 1989. We all went to this game. And, I mean, I'm talking about being young enough to love being at a live sporting event, young enough to be excited about being in a stadium on Christmas Eve watching an NFL game, and all I could think about was getting to warmth. It was that cold. The wind came into old Giants Stadium and just circulated and just stayed there, and it was so cold. Nothing we could do could, like, no hot chocolate, no warm knish, or we were buying warm stuff. It could keep us warm. We were freezing. Feet were just icicles. Couldn't wait to get to that car and turn on the heat. But we stayed for the whole game. We watched the whole game. It was fantastic.
Sounds fantastic. Yeah.
It was great. We still talk. My cousins and I, when we get together, we still chat about that cold weather game. And we were all young at the time. So we all still have incredible memories of it.
So now you guys went shirtless.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, I think our mothers would have shot our fathers if we.
I still don't understand that. I look at those guys. I'm like,
I don't either.
Nah.
I think there was. I think somebody died in Cincinnati during that bowl, the playoff game, the Freezer Bowl, against the Chargers in '82.
Not surprising.
Taking their shirt off, kind of drunk, took his shirt off because that was like wind chill of like minus 50 plus. We got some cold weather coming in.
We do.
All the country. Just dive right, getting all the way down. Deep into the south.
Down here in Houston, it'll be Thursday. It'll be a high of 67, then a low of like 17.
We're getting, we're getting 5 degrees here in Nashville on Thursday, I think. It's coming. We leave Friday for Florida, and we're going to be in winter weather most of the way down until we get to a point where it'll just kick in.
Where Florida has that imaginary wall to keep the winter weather out.
Exactly. Like, you know those movies where like they drive in black and white and then they jump into color?
Yeah.
That's what it's going to be like. It's going to be like at some point we're all being jackets in the car turning on the heat, and then all of a sudden, here comes the sun. It'll be nice and warm.
Open up the windows.
Cross over. Yeah. And I don't want to hear it. I get down to Florida, and it's always like, it's going to be cold, 58 degrees tomorrow. Yeah, I don't want to hear it.
Nah.
No. 58 degrees is not cold. Cold is when you can't start your car. That's cold. Cold is when your battery's frozen, when your car goes, nah, not today. We ain't going anywhere. No chance.
Hope you didn't have important plans.
Right. Hope you didn't have. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. When you're at the gas pump and your hands, you should wear gloves or you're just absolutely shaking. Yeah, that's cold. So, but that's Lambeau Field for you too. So as we were talking about. So again, we'll get back to. I want to get to the Buccaneers because again, they lead their division at 6-8. This is to me the most fascinating division right now. I mean, everyone's all like AFC East with all these good teams. NFC East with all these playoff teams. Yeah, I got you. But the more fun division right now is the Buccaneers leading at 6-8 over three teams that have absolutely no business thinking that they can play in the postseason and yet thinking they can play in the postseason. Carolina, not the quarterback they started the season with. The Saints, not the quarterback they started the season with. Atlanta, not the quarterback they started the season with. All three of those teams going up against Tom Brady? Yeah, it's happening in the NFC South. We'll talk about that coming up next as we continue in his Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
Don Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, so as we mentioned earlier, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are 6-8. They are holding off three teams that are 5-9 vying for the division because somebody's got to win the NFC South. The Buccaneers lost to Cincinnati on Sunday, 34-23. They had a nice 17-0 lead at one point, and then Tom Brady started hiccuping all over the place. He threw two interceptions, lost two fumbles, and the Bengals turned that into some real points as they go on to win that game. And Bengals are cruising right now, and the Buccaneers are reeling. And given that the Carolina Panthers lost and the Atlanta Falcons lost, you would think that a win over Cincinnati could give you a nice little cushion so you could hold off these pesky bad football teams. But no, the Buccaneers just lead by one game against, as I was mentioning earlier, three teams, and none of them have the original starting quarterback. Andy Dalton replacing Jameis Winston, Sam Darnold replacing both Baker Mayfield and P.J. Walker, and now rookie Desmond Ridder is replacing Marcus Mariota. So the Carolina Panthers, as we've said many times this season, have done pretty much everything you can to show you that they are taking this season, going through the bumps, and rebuilding. Fire coach, trade your best player, quarterback released, all of those things are still a game out of the division with a game up on Tampa Bay. The Atlanta Falcons, the same thing, a team that won some games, lost some games, never really looked good, you know, throughout at any long point of the season. Would look decent, but then they wouldn't be. Then they'd look decent, then they wouldn't be. They run the ball well, but couldn't throw. Lost Kyle Pitts to injury, right? Cordarrelle Patterson came back from injury. So the Falcons are a team, again, same kind of thing. Marcus Mariota's got a knee injury. You know what? Let's stick you on the IR. You're not effective for us anyway. And let's go with Desmond Ridder because we want to give him a good look. They have a chance to win the division. The New Orleans Saints, who had years and years of success with Sean Payton and Drew Brees, are looking at their first losing season since 2016. And now they have a chance to make these playoffs because the Buccaneers can't get away from them. And the Buccaneers are a team, again, with Tom Brady. They haven't made a quarterback change. Brady is not injured. They're not looking down at Kyle Trask or whoever is the backup over there. Brady is playing, but he's not playing well. The first 11 games of the season, Tom Brady only turned the ball over four times. But now he has seven in the last three games. Now, Brady, I know, is a polarizing guy. Right, we were tired of him after 20 years of dominating all of our teams if you're not a Patriots fan. Even when years you felt like there was some team on the rise, Brady would sort of hold them back enough to go, not yet, we've got this, don't worry, we're going to take care of this, and the Patriots would win. And then when he went to Tampa Bay, the philosophical split, right, about the Patriots and their success. How much of this was Bill Belichick and how much of this was Tom Brady? And it sort of became one of those barstool arguments that you would find amongst people who just wanted to dissect this unprecedented 20-year success of coach and quarterback. But he went to the Buccaneers. I thought that people sort of turned a bit on Brady, meaning if you really didn't like him and sort of despised him in New England, he's getting on your nerves, sort of this pretty boy NFL megastar. But I thought that going to Tampa Bay, people sort of softened up their thoughts on him. I mean, after all, he was breaking free from this empire and he was going to forge his own identity away from one of the best coaches of all time in an organization that really did know how to put in place the right people and the right people at the right price. And that was always the key in the 20 years. You can't always win with just coach and quarterback. You need to be able to manage the cap really well, maybe and cut ties with people. Even when you think you shouldn't cut ties with them, the Patriots were always good at replacing people you thought were semi-irreplaceable in a league where everybody's replaceable. But they were able to do that. You'd have a great player would have a great year, look for that big money, not really find it in New England, but they always found somebody else that could come in and do the job. So now he was moving on to Tampa Bay, and he wins a Super Bowl. And he wins a Super Bowl, and Bill Belichick is up in New England struggling. And all of a sudden, people went, wait a minute, hold on here. How about this? But now we've had 3 years. This is the third year of this. And as a 45-year-old player who retired at the end of last season, only to come right back and say, whoops, made a mistake, I'm coming back. And the whole situation with the Dolphins and Arians, there was something fishy about all of that, and there was some tampering, and there was not tampering, and maybe there was tampering, and everybody had a thought exactly what was going on. But nevertheless, he was coming back for another run, and why would he come back? Well, he came back because he had a home loss to the Rams in the playoffs and a game in which they came back, and he looked around and said, this team is still viable enough, if healthy, the team is viable enough to be one of the best teams in the NFC. Oh, sure, the Rams look like they're here to stay, and the Packers aren't going anywhere, and Dallas has made the playoffs, but we're going to be in the running too, and our division doesn't look all that strong, and it hasn't worked out that way. The Buccaneers have been plagued with injuries to a lot of key people, including that offensive line that has been an absolute mess. And Brady is playing in a way these days in the last few games where he's giving opportunities to his opponents to go out and beat him. You know, when you're up 17-0, a team like the Bengals certainly can come back on that, but it certainly helps when you give them the ball in short field situations. So, to me, I there are certain athletes that you want to see go the full way that they can possibly go until they're out, right? I think we looked at Serena Williams, for example, who retired in 2022. And it was, you know, she's at the Open, it's exciting, but you kind of knew this is it. The gas tank is sort of empty. That there is nothing left, right? We'd even talked about it, right? That even as inspiring as some of her wins were at the U.S. Open, she was smart enough to know, yeah, I ain't getting this all day. I'm not going to get this every week. I'm not going to get this all. Roger Federer, the same thing, right? You want athletes, when they're getting ready to call it quits, to feel like that they've given you all of it. And now I wonder if Brady is giving us that, if it is at that point. There's a lot of conversation about what Brady is going to do next year when he's going to be 46 years old. What team will he end up with? Who will he sign with? He's a free agent. I'm telling you right now, and I don't have any inside knowledge on this, but I guarantee you there's a lot of general managers out there that are hoping he doesn't come knocking on their door. Because I don't think there are teams that he might want to play for that really need a 46-year-old quarterback. As great as Tom Brady is. Sometimes you have to say no to the sort of end of the career gimmick, even if there is some production there. Brady is not having a terrible, terrible season. He's had a terrible stretch of 3 games. 7 turnovers is a lot in 3 games when he had only 4 and 11. There was one point in the season when he had only thrown 2 interceptions. And now he had two against the Bengals. But I think you have to be careful with the Brady sideshow. I think you're going to have a guy on the team that is an ultimate competitor. But you are worried all the time about when does Father Time knock on the door. And sometimes it comes suddenly. Sometimes it comes gradual. Sometimes you just see the decline as the years progress. A golfer doesn't hit the ball as far as he used to. A hitter doesn't hit home runs like he used to. You start seeing statistically that Father Time is not pounding on the door, but is just slowly opening it up and letting himself in. And for Brady, that might be occurring in a way where he keeps himself in such great shape. But even at 45 and in good shape and as knowledgeable as he is, he can't overcome the things that are around him. This is a season that is really perplexing. But it's not for any other team with an average quarterback. If you had a decent quarterback in the NFL and you gave him an offensive line that lost a star player to an injury, another guy to retirement, and you're putting in and out people in and out of the lineup, and your receivers have been injured all season, and you don't have a running game, and the defense isn't as solid as it used to be, you would go, yeah, around 500 is what I would expect, even if this quarterback was decent, even if this quarterback was one of the better quarterbacks in the league. But with Brady, there is an expectation that he's able to overcome those things. But I think that was a lot to ask for this football team. It was a lot to ask him. again, not seeing a true decline in skill. But even when he was in New England, there was always a watchful eye by the media to see, after he crossed over to that 40-year-old mark, there was always that watchful eye of, yeah, when is it starting to click in? When do we start seeing it? We do it to everybody. Why wouldn't we do it to him? I don't know if I want Brady walking off in the sunset as a Super Bowl champion with a game with games still left to play on his body and mind. Because I do believe that while it is awesome to walk away from the game as a champion, right? Some of the athletes that have walked away as champions did so because they also knew in the end they still couldn't do it. They were getting to a point where they couldn't do it. Right? John Elway walked away as a Super Bowl champion, but I'm telling you, that was the right decision. We all know that Peyton Manning, it was the right decision. For Michael Jordan, it wasn't the right decision. He eventually came back into the NBA and played with the Wizards until he sort of disappeared. I think Brady was going to be the Jordan-esque way all the time. All the time. So when he did retire, and I always thought, I don't know how long this ultra-competitive athlete is going to stay this way, because I always knew that in the end, as I say all the time, guys want to get back to what they just left off. And when you're at home and you play the Rams and you come back against the Rams and then they make that one play to Cooper Kupp that sealed the win for them to prevent you from making the comeback, that's the last memory you have. That's the last thing you remember. And some athletes have to go, but you know what? I remember week 3 and week 5 and week 7 and week 9 and all the pain and the recovery and not being able to really get back. And I can't do it. That's what happened to Elway. That's what happened to Manning. Both of them left with the Vince Lombardi trophy, but both remembered that the Vince Lombardi trophy wasn't the entire story. And for Brady, I always thought, he seemed like the kind of athlete that would be like Michael Jordan. He would go until he absolutely couldn't play football anymore. Until the skills were so eroded that rather than be embarrassed by teams telling him, I can't do it, man. I can't. You can't come here. Sorry. He would then say, I see the writing on the wall. Now, these last 3 games, I don't know if it's the writing on the wall. I don't know. It's a bad stretch, and it's a team that should be running away with this division. As I was saying, you've got 3 teams that are basically have given up on the season with some of the decisions that they've made. The Saints will not go back to Jameis Winston. A rookie from Cincinnati is starting in Atlanta because why not? And Carolina has given you every indication that 2022 is a wash. And the Buccaneers should be up by 3-4 games over this motley crew. And they're not. And they're not because a lot of it has to do with things surrounding Tom Brady and not necessarily Tom Brady. Although, that game against Cincinnati, if you were to give me the Cliff Notes answer as to why the Bengals won that game, they got short field on turnovers. And where did they get the turnovers from? 4 of them from Tom Brady. All right, on Twitter, at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver, that's Ron with 2 N's on a Tuesday. Again, we got top 5, bottom 5 later on. We'll talk Jacksonville and their resurgence. It's all coming up as we roll through this morning on Sports Map Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue this morning. Did you see any of the South Carolina Myrtle Beach Bowl yesterday? I did not.
I did not.
Me either. Kind of missed it. But I guess Marshall won. So congratulations to Marshall.
Congrats, Marsh.
But I only bring it up because Michael from Atlanta is a UConn grad, and I just bring it up for his benefit. Say, there you go, UConn. You know who coaches the UConn Huskies? I bet you didn't know this because I kind of forgot. Jim Mora Jr.
Does he really?
Yeah.
All right.
Isn't that wild?
Yeah.
Jim Mora Jr., former head coach of the Seattle Seahawks. Wasn't he the coach of the Atlanta Falcons, too? I think he coached the Atlanta Falcons.
I think so.
He also coached UCLA. Now coaching at UConn.
I thought you were going to say Gino Auriemma.
Oh, right? Wouldn't that be awesome? Gino Auriemma double was dipping. Coaching, double dipping, playing, playing, you know, doing both. Yeah. So UConn went 6-6 this past season, and they made it to Conway, South Carolina is the home of Coastal Carolina. So Coastal Carolina, that has been a very good football team for last couple of years. In fact, their coach that was there just got the job at Liberty. That was vacated by the departure of Hugh Freeze. But Marshall won the Myrtle Beach Bowl, but Jim Mora Jr. is the head coach at UConn. Hmm. So you never know. It's one of those circumstances where, you know, it's not like I woke up and went, I wonder whatever happened to Jim Mora Jr. But when I saw it, I went, oh, look at that. There he landed at UConn. Wow. I didn't even think about him, but I haven't heard about him for a while. And look at that. He's at UConn. It's one of those situations where a familiar name pops up. And it happens to us all the time as assistant coaches, right? When you see, I'll see like a coach getting fired or something, and then I'll see the name of the offensive coordinator that is taking over, and I'm like, wow, I think he was the head coach at Florida State one time or someplace like that. You know what I mean? Like just all of a sudden you see an assistant, and you go, oh, that's where he landed. Wow, that's awesome. Well done. Well done. Glad to see he landed on his feet at such and such state university. Anyway, two games today are on the schedule for your bowl schedule. East Michigan and San Jose State, and Liberty and Toledo, in both the famous Idaho Potato Bowl in Boise and the Boca Raton Bowl in Florida.